All right, so as many of you probably know, I am a first grade teacher, and a big part of teaching first grade is helping my kids learn to read. So at the beginning of the school year, they come in at all different levels and abilities. Some kids come in reading fluently, they are capable, they are confident, they could even write their own book. And then there's other kids who hardly know their letter sounds. And you can imagine the wide range of students all in between. So the big challenge is not only differentiating and teaching to all these levels, but especially helping the small group of struggling readers get to where they need to be by the end of the school year. And so at this in this school year, I had about six students who were very low, and that looked like supporting them on a daily basis, twice a day usually, where I would give them direct phonics instruction and then we would practice, I'd give them feedback. And it was often a very long, slow, challenging process where the progress seemed very slow. And you'd be surprised, the simplest word like cat is not so simple for kids to read at first. It's cat, and so many times I'm like, cat, it says cat. So it takes time. But it's also incredible to see the growth throughout the whole school year. And at the end of the year, getting to celebrate that. It makes all of the struggle worthwhile. And it just feels rewarding, it feels fulfilling. And especially with those students that I worked with so closely, we were bonded together in a way like little else could, right? That struggle was really meaningful. It wasn't a waste. And so I share all that to say that the struggle is real. Can you guys say that with me? The struggle is real. And we all struggle in life. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from or what you do. We all struggle. So let me just ask you a couple of questions to get you thinking, and you don't have to raise your hand. All right, so how many of you struggle with healthy habits, like exercise, getting enough sleep, eating right? Oh, we have a few hands raised. You guys are brave. How many of us struggle with connecting with people and relationships, conflict, getting along with people? Okay, how many of us struggle with, budgeting and spending? Yeah, I see Hector. Wow, you are, sorry, I called you out. He's in the back. He thought I'm hiding, and no, I see you. Yeah, and we struggle, there's other things, like how many of us struggle with fear and with trusting God and believing God, right? The struggle is real. Now let me ask you, and you can raise your hands, how many of us struggle? Yes, a lot of us struggle, right? And we all want things to be easy, right? But that's just not reality. So today I'm going to talk to you about the types of struggle that we experience and how we can all struggle well, okay? And believe it or not, this was not the original planned message, okay? So I struggled through this whole process, and everything I'm about to speak to you on, I lived, because that's how God works. He's like, oh, you're not going to be a hypocrite. You are going to live the struggle so you can preach from your heart. So it took weeks of studying and preparation and prayer. And then on Wednesday night this past week, the Lord was like, start over. So blank piece of paper. All right, let's go a new direction. And that's the direction we're heading in, is the struggle is real. And so I pray that this will touch you and bless you and encourage you. So let me just open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your presence and to speak on your behalf. And I just pray, Lord, that these would not be my words, but they would be yours. And that you would open up our hearts, open up our eyes and ears, so that we may see, hear, and receive the truth. And may you receive all glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So let's start out by defining struggle. Right? What is struggling? I mean, we've experienced it, but here's what the dictionary says. It means to experience difficulty and to make a very great effort to do something. To experience difficulty and make a very great effort to do something. Put simply, struggle is resistance encountered in life, right? We're pretty familiar. Struggling could be internal within the heart and mind, or it could be external, pressures from outside of us, right? It could be in any category, relational, physical, financial, spiritual. And there are also some things that we believe about struggle, right? We all have a belief system about struggle. And I'm just going to share a few of those lies, the common lies about struggle, and maybe some of them would resonate with you. So I just want you to take a moment to reflect and see what hits home. I am alone in my struggling. No one understands my struggling. If I am struggling, it means something's wrong with me. If I am struggling, God is punishing me. My struggle doesn't count because other people are struggling more. And there's other lies as well. But maybe something hit home of like, yeah, you know what, I am struggling, and I maybe have embraced a thought or a belief system subconsciously about struggling. And I believe that as I share the word of God this morning, that truth is going to set you free so that you can struggle well. Amen? All right, so let's talk about the three different types of struggling that I've come to understand. We've got the good, bad, and the ugly. Isn't that good? I hope you guys can remember that. Try to make it super clear and simple. Can you guys say that with me? Say the good, the bad, and the ugly. At first, I'll be honest, I only thought there were two, like the good and the bad, but come to understand that there's also the ugly kind of struggling. So the good kind of struggling is when God's purpose is for us to grow. Okay, so we have the good kind of struggling. If you think of a butterfly, right, a butterfly is in a chrysalis, and the butterfly has to push out of the chrysalis in order for its wings to function, for it to fly. And if you were to help break open the chrysalis, the butterfly's wings would not work. So there is a good kind of struggling, a healthy kind of struggling that the Lord uses in our life, allows in our life, so that we can become stronger. And I love to go to the gym and exercise. Anybody else? Okay. And maybe some of us want to go to the gym and some of us have close that chapter. But there's a resistance, right? A physical resistance. I'm putting my muscles under tension and I'm exerting myself through a long period of time or through heavier weights, but all of that helps me become stronger. And the same kind of thing happens with our faith, right? We are tested, we are tried, we are put through the Lord doesn't remove all struggles so that we can become stronger and we can grow. So James, in the Bible, the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Can somebody say pure joy? That is good struggling to the T. And there is a purpose in this, right? It's not purposeless. God's purpose is for us to grow. And it says trials of many kinds. You can think of struggles of many kinds. The Lord uses those in our lives to produce perseverance and maturity. Now, if you're not struggling in a good way, if you're not experiencing that healthy, good struggle, then it could be for a couple of reasons. Maybe you're living inside of your comfort zone, or maybe you're just maintaining your faith and not growing and moving forward. So that's also something to consider. All right, so we've talked about good struggling. Now let's move on to bad struggling. So in bad struggling, there's also a purpose, and that purpose is from the enemy. So Satan's purpose is for us to fail. Satan's purpose is for us to fail. And that can look like two things. It could be the enemy and the army of darkness coming against us to attack us. So spiritual attack. Or that could look like just the enemy leveraging the weaknesses of our flesh to bring about destruction in our lives, right? To bring about pain and suffering and struggling. So the first one, let's read John 10:10, a scripture we're familiar with, to just see the how the enemy works. And Jesus says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Right? So the enemy, he has a plan, he has a strategy, he has a purpose, and that's to steal our peace, kill our joy, and rob us of everything that God has intended for our benefit and for our blessing and health. But Jesus doesn't just leave us undefended and vulnerable. He responds and he comes so that we may have life and we may walk in victory and be protected. Amen? Amen. And then there's the flesh. So in Galatians 5:17, it says this, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." We've got this battle between the flesh and the spirit. And you might be thinking, well, what does it mean by the flesh? Well, the flesh is our natural human tendencies to do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, with or without God's approval. And we have that part of us because we live in a sinful and broken world. And one day there is hope that for us to be delivered from our flesh being the ruling power in our lives, but it is something we wrestle against. And so there's two sides to this coin with that scripture, where it could be good struggling or bad struggling, and you get to pick your struggle. So you can either wrestle against God and give in to the flesh, or you can wrestle against your flesh and surrender to God. So you choose, what kind of struggling do you want? Against God or against our flesh? I would encourage you to go against your flesh. Amen? Amen. And then there is ugly struggling. So good struggling, God's purpose is for us to grow. Bad struggling is Satan's purpose for us to fail. And then there is ugly struggling. And in ugly struggling, there's no intended purpose. It's the byproduct of living in a broken and a sinful world, where we tend to over-spiritualize everything and have a reason for everything, but that's just not true, right? God is not causing suffering to teach you a lesson. That would be cruel, right? And the enemy is not behind every bush. It's not a demon behind every bush. There are hardships and calamities and pain and suffering that happens in our world because it's broken. And it grieves God's heart. Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So he's saying there's going to be trouble, there's going to be hardship, things are going to get ugly at times. And for example, you can think of the fires that hit the county of LA. Right? Those were awful. And some people may be quick to assume, oh, well, God is bringing judgment against the people there, the city, the area. And I would be afraid to say that, right? Because I can't assume God's intentions, and I know his intentions are always good, right? Or say, oh, I got in a car accident because God didn't want me to buy that car, and now that's the consequence. No, sometimes fires and car accidents and sickness and disease, it just happens. And God's not behind that. And the enemy's not always behind that in a very direct, intentional way. So we've got the good, bad, and the ugly. All right? Now, I want to move forward to talk about how we can struggle well, right? Because the goal is to live a life of victory. The goal is to overcome and to struggle well, because we've established that struggle is a part of our lives. God is not removing that struggle yet, especially the good struggle. It's important. It's healthy. But there's three points that I have, and they all start with P. If I said that three times with my kids, P, 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 they would lose it. But I'm hoping that it can really stick and you can hold on to it. But in good struggling, the way that we struggle well is through perseverance. So we persevere. Say persevere. Persevere. And we persevere in faith and in doing what is right. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 through 12, Paul writes this to Timothy. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you are called. That's very active. There's nothing passive about that. Pursuing something means I'm gonna chase down this target. I'm gonna get through any obstacle, any barrier, anything in the way, and I'm gonna do whatever I can to meet that goal. So we're pursuing these qualities and these godly characteristics. And fight the good fight of faith, right? Our faith is a fight, and it's a good fight. Struggle the good struggle of faith. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. And then in Luke chapter 22, verses 42 through 44, we see a great example of perseverance in the midst of a good struggle. And that's with the person of Jesus. And the context for this story is that Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is kneeling before the Father. He's praying because he's about to endure the most difficult crucifixion possible, right? He's not only anticipating and preparing himself for the physical torment, but also the emotional anguish, the spiritual weightiness of taking on the sin of the entire world on his body, on his soul. He's the only perfect sacrifice, the only one who could do that. And so we get this behind, the curtain is drawn back, and we get this inside glimpse to the God of the universe who is 100% fully God, but 100% fully human. And he is so raw and real and vulnerable in this moment. And this is something that I've just has resonated with me so much and has encouraged me. But in this, Jesus, he gets down on his knees. And he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, yours be done. And then he gets up and he checks on his disciples who had fallen asleep. And then he goes right back down to this position of prayer and dependence. And he's crying out to God, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, your will be done. And he does it a third time. And it just shows how tormented he was in his soul preparing for this. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. God heard him. The Father heard him and strengthened him. And boy, did he need that strength for what he was about to endure. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. That's just not just a metaphor, not a simile, but you see my teacher in me. I was like, it's not a metaphor, it's a simile. This is a scientific phenomenon where his capillaries and his face were bursting open out of deep anguish, sorrow, pressure that he was under. And what amazes me is that Jesus, he knew the purpose that he was sent for. He knew his mission and his assignment and how his sacrifice on the cross would open up a way for everyone who calls on his name to have a relationship with him and to receive the forgiveness of sins and to just be set free from the struggling of the bad struggling of life, of sin and death and the just being ruled by our flesh, right? He knew that, and he also knew the outcome, that it was going to be an outcome of victory, right? It would not end in death, but that he would be resurrected from the grave and that he would be seated at the right hand of the Father. Yet he struggled. And in this, we see a struggle sandwich, right? Struggle sandwich with the meat of strengthening. And if you're in here this morning and you're struggling, I want you to be encouraged that the Lord is giving you the meat of strengthening, the meat of encouragement, that you may be struggling, encouraged, and then you might continue struggling. And Jesus experienced that. He experienced that. So how do we struggle well? We persevere in good struggling. And I'm learning that. I'm persevering in, I'm resisting fear. I'm choosing to obey God, even though this is a bit nerve-wracking and I'm a young leader, but I'm choosing to continue to press in and to struggle the good struggle of discerning his voice and just being expecting for him to move, even though it takes a lot of risk. So I want to encourage you to persevere in struggling, in the good struggle. The next point and the way we can struggle well in the bad struggling is by pivoting. Say pivot. Okay, when I think of pivot, I immediately go back to my basketball experience because that's the best way I imagine pivoting is when we're dribbling down the court, and Alex, you know this too. We're dribbling down the court, and then we stop, pick up the ball, and one foot is planted for me to be able to change positions, right? But what's important is that we stop first. So when we're pivoting, we stop, we pick up the ball, and then we completely turn 180 or wherever we need to head so that we can continue the gameplay, right? And that we can get a victory for our team. And we need to pivot away from sin, away from an unhealthy relationship, or a bad direction that's away from God. So an example of that is Jonah, right? Jonah from the Old Testament, he was a prophet, and God spoke to him. He said, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh and preach to the people, right? Because there's so much sin in the city, so much destruction, and just the Lord was going to bring about judgment as an act of mercy because it was so bad. And Jonah, what did he do? He ran in the opposite direction. He ran away from God. He jumped on a ship. There was a massive storm. The crew threw him overboard. He was swallowed by a giant fish. And in that, the belly of the fish, he encountered God and realized, wow, I need to obey. And God, in his mercy, gave Jonah that second chance, and he turned, he pivoted, and he went to preach to the people of Nineveh. And you know what's amazing is that they heard the truth, the message, and they all repented. They all got down on their knees and humbled themselves before God and were spared from that judgment, spared from that calamity. So I say all that to make a point that our pivoting is not only about us. It affects other people. You might think, well, I have this secret sin, this struggle that I'm dealing with, or this way that I'm living my life. It's just about me. Like, it really doesn't matter. But it does matter, because our pivoting impacts other people knowing Jesus, walking with Jesus, hearing the gospel. And we also know about the Apostle Paul, right? Apostle Paul, who was persecuting the church, he was very aggressive as, this was after the time that Jesus ascended into heaven, but he was very aggressive and passionate, but resisting God. And then he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life took a whole 180 spin, right? And then he became such an instrumental figure in the early church, planting churches, writing much of the New Testament. So you can think about what would happen if these people of faith didn't pivot. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 18 through 19, it says this. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. What I love about verse 18 is the point that God's Messiah would suffer. The Messiah is referring to Jesus. His son would struggle. You know, Jesus struggled for us so that we don't have to go through struggle unnecessarily, right? There's good struggling, but in this bad struggling, we don't need to struggle unnecessarily knowing that he has won the victory and we need to surrender to him, seek him, pursue him, resist our flesh, and walk in obedience to him and repent then and turn to God. When we turn to God, he forgives us. And what's beautiful is that times of refreshing come from the Lord. And the Lord is so gracious to refresh us when we say, Lord, you're right. The way I was living, the way I was acting, or the ignorance that I lived in and or unbelief, it's not right. And as we turn to God, even though that struggle is hard to make that turn, the refreshment comes. How many of you guys want to experience the refreshing presence of the Lord? Amen? Amen. Thank you guys for listening so well. This is great. You know, in first grade, and my teammate Michelle is here too. Every 5 seconds, I'm interrupted. It's like, whoa, that impulse control is really not there. It's like, oh my goodness. Okay, I put the hand up, I wait, you know, do all the tricks. But it's like very, I'm not used to this. So this is great. I'm like, wow. All right, you guys. So how do we struggle well? We persevere through good struggling. We pivot in bad struggling. And then we partner with Jesus and other believers through ugly struggling. Say partner. All right. So we partner with Jesus and other believers. Let's look at a story in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 47 through 51. And in this story, or right before where we're going to pick up reading, Jesus and his disciples, they were ministering a large crowd of people who were in need of healing and in need of the gospel. And so they had finished doing that. Jesus remained behind to pray and just spend alone time with the Father. And his disciples got in the boat and they were working across to the other side of the lake. And so it says this, later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land, Jesus. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. This story is so beautiful and teaches us about the power of partnership and how Jesus interacts with us in our struggling. And first of all, Jesus saw his disciples straining at the oars, struggling because of this great wind. Right? And it doesn't say anywhere that God sent the wind. It doesn't say that the enemy sent the wind. There was just a strong wind. And Jesus saw them. And Jesus sees you in your struggling. He sees you in the pain that you're experiencing and things that have happened unexpectedly in your life, things that don't make sense. And he sees you. He saw them. And then shortly before dawn, he went out to them. So in our struggling, Jesus comes to us. If he could walk on the water, he could definitely teleport, I'm sure, to the other side of the lake, but he chose to walk to his disciples. But what's interesting is that he was about to pass them by. He's walking. And what changed that? What did his disciples do? They cried out. And I want you to know that Jesus is near. Jesus is near. You don't have to struggle alone. But it's so important for us to cry out, for us to raise our voices in prayer and in just honesty of like, God, I need you. I'm struggling. It's not enough to just know that Jesus exists, but we have to cry out to say, Jesus, I want you in the boat with me. I need you. I want a relationship with you. And so they cried out and he climbed into the boat with them, right? And the wind died down and it made a huge difference to have Jesus with them. Do you guys want Jesus with you this morning? Yes. Amen. Amen. And then there's one last verse that I have for you this morning is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, and it teaches us about partnering with other believers. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So by yourself, you may be overpowered. That's quite likely in struggling because we can't do it alone. Two can defend themselves. And the way I see it is that that's you and Jesus. Yeah, you and Jesus, that's pretty significant. That's essential. And then a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And I see that as you, Jesus, and the family of God, the body of Christ, right? The three of us together partnering helps us just really get through the ugly struggling. And we need to partner with each other through any kind of struggling, but especially in ugly struggling. And so I just want to invite us into just a moment of reflection, and I would love to pray for you. And I know, you know, I'm fairly new at preaching, so it's okay if this was a little bit of a struggle for you to understand or receive. But I pray that, thank you for bearing with me. But I just want you to start just taking some time to think. How are you struggling today? How are you struggling today? If it's the good kind of struggling, I want to encourage you to persevere. If it's the bad kind of struggling, I want to challenge you to pivot. Or if it's the ugly struggling, I want to comfort you and reassure you and remind you to partner with Jesus and partner with other believers. So just take a quiet moment to just really reflect. You can close your eyes, you can bow your heads. And before I pray for you, I do want to give an opportunity for anyone in this room or anyone watching online to ask Jesus for forgiveness and to have a relationship with him. In the Bible, it says, "Behold," Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody hears the sound of my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and have fellowship with them." And if Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart this morning, if he's saying, "Let me in, I want a relationship with you," I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to do something brave and just raise your hand really quickly. No one's looking around. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If that's you this morning, Don't struggle any longer. Don't struggle against his voice, against his presence. I'm going to count to three and ask you to lift your hand just for me to see, and as an act of faith before God, that you want a relationship with him. One, two, three. Thank you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Stop struggling and surrender. Say yes to Jesus. Well, whether you raised your hand or not, we're all going to pray together in support of those three who are making decisions to follow Jesus this morning. So would you just repeat after me? Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came into my struggle to save me from my sins, to forgive me, and give me a hope and a future. I say yes to you. I want to struggle with you, for you, and through you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a round of applause? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we have some time this morning, and what I want to make space for is to pray for you and to allow the Lord to minister to you, to touch you in your struggling. So I'm going to ask that if any of you are in here this morning and something resonated with you, whether you're going through good struggling, bad struggling, or ugly struggling, I'm going to invite you to stand, and so I can pray for you. So if that's you in any kind of struggling, would you please stand? Any kind of struggling. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your vulnerability. Anybody else? As just an act of faith of like, hey, I need help. There's no shame in it. I'd be standing. And would you just open up your hands in front of you? It's just a posture to receive. Jesus, I just thank you so much for those who are standing in faith, those who are depending on you right now, crying out to you for help, for strength, for perseverance, for comfort, for the courage to pivot. Lord, you know each person. You know where they're at. You know what they need. And we just invite your presence just to come in and just touch these people in a way that I can't. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Remind them and reassure them that you see them in their struggle, that you are near. And you are their ever-present help in times of trouble. Strengthen your people this morning. Encourage them. And may there be breakthrough and victory in every area of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.